Blog Talk Radio.
My conversation, I'm glad what you said.
I don't want to call. cannot pretend. Oh, this thing is intent. I'm kind of sure. So I give you my heart. I give you all my head.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, Happy this morning again, first day of the week. Well, Sunday was the first day, but we are here today on Monday, and we are grateful. We are grateful that the Lord has allowed us to enter in this day, for truly this is the day that the Lord has made, and we are already rejoicing. We are giving him praise as he requires. He requires us to praise. Pray and praise without ceasing. So we are excited. The Lord has granted us this day. Today we're going to be talking about there's only one way to the Father. And, you know, we're living in a time where even the believers are saying that there's a evolution. They say it's evolving, and they say we're evolving to this thing. I don't know what they're talking about. But they're saying that we are evolving, and even the ones that people are holding with such high esteem are saying that, you know, there are many ways to God, and they are getting on television because the folks are giving them large sums of money. Satan is causing the folk to bless them with great large amount of money. So they are saying what the world want them to say. Hallelujah. But we believe in this King James Version, and they all, it says that Jesus is the way, the truth, and that he is life, that no one can come to the Father except through him. Hallelujah. So if you come in any other way, the Bible also said in John 10:10 that you are a thief and a robber. So Father, we just thank you and praise you, O God, for this day. We ask you to bless us. Bless us to hear from heaven, O God, that what we speak today will be coming through the Spirit, O God. It won't be anything of my flesh, O God. Lord, I decrease right now that you might increase, O God, Father. We ask, Father God, that if I might speak a word that did not come to me through these 66 books or by your Spirit, God, cause my tongue to cleave to the roof of my mouth and never let me speak another word. My only objective, Father, is to glorify your name, edify your body, and terrify the devil. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen, amen. We are still lifting up all those people that are sick, and we are lifting up the United States. We are lifting up Africa and all parts of the world. We are lifting up because it's getting worse and worse. I'm telling you this. I told you all the other day about the pastor, the apostle. Oh, you know, I like what Mr. Jones says, that many people call themselves this and that, but it's not from God. And that's the truth. And well, this guy is an apostle, and his father is a bishop in Nigeria. And he was married with two children, beautiful wife, and the beautiful kids. And he was having a side chick. And the side chick wanted more. Well, he promised her more. He said he was going to leave his wife, and he was going to marry to her because he wanted to get that booty. You know what I'm saying? So he said what she needed to hear. Well, he wanted her to hear. Well, she was persistent. She wanted that man of God. And he wanted her booty. So he ended up between he and his father, they killed this woman and they dissected her body. Understand? They put her hands and feet in one bag and her head and torso in one body and another part of her body in another bag. They paid to dump it at the dump heap. But how many of you know that God would expose you? When you in darkness, the light of God would come in and it would expose you. Hallelujah. You may stay in darkness for a little while. Hallelujah. Let us say this. Let me put myself in there. We might stay in darkness for a little while, But you can't stay in darkness all the time. Because the light is so powerful. The light of God is so powerful that it shines even in darkness. Hallelujah. He said light, night and day is the same to him. Night and day is the same to him. He is so powerful. He shines through the night. He shines through the day. So when we think that we are sinning and we're getting away with it, the bishop may not know, the apostle may not know, the evangelist may not know, the prophet may not know, the teacher might not know, but guess who knows? Jesus knows. But today we want to talk about Jesus is the only way to the Father. Because these preachers are out there saying, I didn't have anything to preach today. I mean, I say so all the time, but I always have a lot of words. I have a lot of word here. But I didn't have anything in my mind, my spirit. And I was laying across the bed yesterday evening. As a matter of fact, I went to sleep. Because my baby came and she said, you were sleeping in store so good, I just left you. And I was going to make some steaks and stuff. And she said she went on and, since I went to sleep, she went on and got some pizza for she and my granddaughter. You know, and I was sleeping good because I was tired. The sun usually takes a lot out of me. And so when I got, I was laying there across the bed and the Holy Spirit just dropped in my spirit. Jesus is the only way to the Father. And he said it several times. So I came to the conclusion that he wanted me to talk about that today. So let's go to the book of John, chapter 14, the best place to start. Right where it's at. And let's start. I want to do the first 14 verses, but you know me, I might go all the way. Let's go. John, chapter 14.
Amen.
Start at verse 1. Thank you, Brother Deacon. John chapter 14, and let's start at verse 1. And I'm looking at two Bibles here, the King James and the Logos. You know I like the Logos. The Logos is just the expanded version of the King James Version. It doesn't change anything. It's the only thing really that is it speaks the holy name of God. Hallelujah. Jesus says here in the King James Version, he says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Jesus is making a very profound statement here. He is talking to his disciples. I want you to know this. And he said to them, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. You believe in Yahweh. So believe also in me. In other words, he is letting them know that, look, I come out of the bosom of Yahweh. And if you believe in Yahweh, you can believe in me. This is what Jesus is saying. Hallelujah. These preachers today have so much money, and their heads are so turned backward that they are saying that there are many gods, but Jesus is saying different. Jesus said different. Hallelujah. It's right here in this text. And I'm not going to change the text because he said so. I don't care what bishop, what apostle, what prophet, what evangelist, what pastor, what teacher said different. I'm not agreeing with them. I'm going to agree with the one that gave me life. The one that drew me out of the crack house, the whore house. When I was broke, he gave me something to eat. When I was hungry, he gave me something to eat. When I was naked, he clothed me. Hallelujah. When I was locked up for immigration court and they wanted to put me out of this country, he came in there and said, not so. You're not going anywhere, son. And I told him straight up. I said, I'm here. I'm here on assignment from God. Hallelujah. When they brought something that happened, was supposedly happened 25 years or 30 years ago, and they brought it against me, tried to put me out of the country. And God started two churches, two body of believers, a Latina church where I had somebody translating for me and an African-American church. I was locked up for 66 days, and God saved, brought 68 people to the kingdom, into the kingdom. 68 people received Jesus as Lord and Savior. We went on the computer. We made a license for a young man. I'd ordained him while in the immigration jail and sent him back to British Honduras as a minister of the gospel to preach the gospel to the lost back there. Don't tell me God will do it. He's the only one that can change your life. He's the only one that can make you brand new. Don't care how far you're down in the pit of hell, he can reach way down in hell and drag you out of hell. And since Satan, not so today, this one belongs to me. I pay the price for him because he did pay the price. He paid the price at Calvary for every soul in this world. Every soul that he said, all souls are mine, the soul that sinners shall die. So all souls belongs to God. It's just that they have to turn. They have to turn and admit him, repent and turn and admit him and receive him as Lord and Savior. But all souls, the gay, the fornicator, the adulterer, the one who steals, the one who cuts, the one who gets drunk, the one who lies, oh God, the one who backbites, the one who gossips, all belongs to him. Hallelujah. He shed his blood for all mankind. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. And we are praying that everyone was here. Jesus continued to speak. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. See, Jesus is so much in love with us. Hallelujah. He is so much in love with us that he go to prepare a place for us. Because he wants us to be with him. I want you to know that. You might hear somebody say, well, you've been sinning so long, God don't have no use for you. That's a lie. Jesus said he goes to prepare a place for us. And he put a contingency in this text. It's in this text. There's a contingency. That means that we have a part to play. And this is what he says. He said, if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. He said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, this is the contingency right here, there you may be also. See, you see that maybe? That's a contingency. That means we have to do something to be with him. He played his part already at Calvary, where he allowed them to nail him, pierce him, and crown him, whip him and tore his skin. That's his part he played. The part that we need to play now is that we have to believe in him and obey his commandments, his statutes, and his laws. That's the part that we have to play. But we say, oh, I'm saved. I'm sanctified. I'm going to heaven. Living like hell until you go to heaven. You might as well pack your bags and get ready for hell, because hell is really open. The Bible says hell is enlarged in its mouth. It's enlarging its mouth. Why? Because many going to say they're going to heaven, going to end up in hell, because they're not living to go to heaven. They're not living to go back with Jesus when he comes. That's why you hear me say I'm living to live again. That don't mean that I'm perfect, but I'm being perfected. We are being perfected. Those of us that are trying are being perfected, because God sees us trying to do the right things. Listen what he says. And where I go, you know. And the way you know, Jesus said this thing. Jesus said, look, you know where I'm going. Why? Because he told him before. He's going to be with the Father where he came from. He came out the bosom of the Father. He's going back in the bosom because he and the Father is one. Do you hear me today? He wants us to be one. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago in John chapter 17. He wants us to be one as he and the Father is one. So we all can fellowship. We all can come before him. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not where thou goest. And how can we know the way? Thomas asked this question. Thomas was always the doubting. You know, the people, my mama just said, don't be like doubting Thomas. You probably heard your grandmother, your mama say that from time to time. Don't be like telling you something. They're trying to give you some instruction you don't believe. You got some doubt. And mama would say, don't be like doubting Thomas, boy. Girl, don't be like doubting Thomas. This is what he was talking about. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus makes this thing so plain. Hallelujah. He did not bite his tongue. He did not stammer. It came out plain and smooth. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except by me. If you want to see the Father, you're going to have to come through me. You're going to have to deal with me. You're going to have to accept me as Lord and Savior. These folk running around telling people there's so many different ways. Listen to Jesus speak. He says, hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's go to verse 7. This is the King James Version. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, you know him and have seen him, what Jesus says. If you really knew him, you would know the Father. Why? Because he and the Father is one. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices us. Now, you see there's three points in this text here that I want you to see. The first point is that Doubting Thomas, questioned him about the way. And Jesus gave him the answer, I am the way and the truth and life. No one comes to the Father except through him. Philip now come and ask him another question. This is point two. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices us. Jesus said unto him, Jesus answered him. This is the answer to that question. Have I been so long time with you, and yet have thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Jesus made this thing red out plain for Philip. The third point is coming up pretty soon. I want you to see this. The third point, we're going to have to go down to verse 22, but let's go down this verse. We're talking about Jesus. There's only one way to the Father. That's the topic. There's only one way to the Father, and we know that way is Jesus. We have to bring this word because too many preachers are saying today that there's many other ways. They're even getting on the pulpit and saying that there's more than one way. Why would God only make one way back to him? That's what the preachers are saying. These are very well-known preachers that have over 3,000 members in their edifice. Some of them have 15,000 members. Some have more than that. And they're saying this foolishness that there's more than one way to the Father when this Bible makes it very plain. Jesus himself spoke it. It wasn't the apostle. It wasn't some prophet or prophetess in the Bible that said it. Jesus said it himself. It came right out of the Savior's mouth. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh to the Father except by me. Jesus made it very plain. John 14 and 6. Now let's go a little further down here, chapter 14 of John. Jesus said to Philip, Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. I tell you, this Jesus that we serve is so awesome. That's why he's the sovereign Lord. He's speaking here with such power and such authority. Here to Philip, one of the disciples. He's speaking so powerful. It's a Thomas. It's a Judas. Not Iscariot. But he's speaking powerful to them to get a true understanding who he is, even though they've been with him so long. They still didn't really know who he was. He said, he questioned that. Have I been with you all this long time, and yet you don't know who I am? Glory to God. Then he went on and said here, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. Or else believe me for the very work's sake. The miracles that I'm doing that no one else can do. Jesus is saying, I am doing things that nobody else on the earth can do. Stop that. Nobody else on the earth can do. Believe me for that. Hallelujah, Jesus. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And, And greater works than these shall he do. Because I go unto my Father. Listen. See, the thing is for these works to happen through us, for us to activate this power and this authority, we must believe in Christ Jesus. We must 100% believe in him and trust his works. Trust the anointing that is on our lives. We are speaking with our mouth, but we don't believe with our heart. This is what Jesus said for us. We got to believe in the works, the very works. Because he said if we believe, we will perform these works. He will allow these works to flow through us. The anointing will flow through us so we can do the works. But he has to get the glory. Listen to what he says. He said, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You see, the honor must go to the Father. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and 16 that we must let our light so shine before men that they would see our good works and glorify the Father. You see, the Father must get the glory out of whatever we are doing in this earth realm. Hallelujah. So he says, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Jesus is speaking. And your Bible should be read. My Bible is read. If you love me, this is another contingency. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. We're saying all day long how much we love God. And we will even confess this before the unsaved and the saved. How much we love Jesus. But the problem is that we can't keep his commandments. We got to do what makes us feel good. You have so many preachers are falling. And you say, why you always talk about preachers, apostle? It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. These false prophets are in the Bible. And we're not going to pancake with them. They're wolves and sheep clothing. We're not going to pancake with them. See, they even came against Jesus because he was exposing everything that they were doing. They come against these false preachers. They wouldn't keep the commandments. I told you about the man who he and his father, he's an apostle and his father's a bishop. And he got a girlfriend on the side. And they end up killing the girlfriend and severing her body in several pieces and putting it in different trash bags and putting it in the dumpster. If they love God, if they're as apostle or bishop, I say they love God, they will not go kill somebody. Sever them up because the son is a fornicator, an adulterer. And they want to hide the lie. God already see the lie. Hallelujah. If he loves them, we're going to honor him by keeping his commandments. Not just preaching the word. Not just running through the sanctuary acting like we got it going on. We are so anointed we can't even sit down. We run here and run there, jump over the pews and all that stuff. Acting up, putting on a show for what? Put on a show by living the gospel. Become a living epistle. That's what he says. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. See, this comforter, the Holy Spirit, it come not to just stay for a day. He comes to stay forever until Christ returns to receive us. But we have to be purified or sanctified vessels for the Holy Spirit to live in. If we are contaminated vessels, the Holy Spirit is not going to stay in there. I told you about the time when I was in the church building and my pastor back in Virginia was preaching with fire. Oh, that man could preach and teach. And he was walking back and forth, and preaching the gospel. And when he stepped over that altar and started walking through the pews in the little lanes, you call them lanes or whatever, through the pews, people were just falling over. He wasn't even touching nobody. The anointing was on that man so strong. So strong. And when he passed by me, nothing happened. So I started to shout the Lord, why can't I feel what these other people, my other brothers and sisters in the sanctuary was was feeling. And right there, the Holy Spirit said to me, he said, I could only visit you, but I can't stay. And then he gave me an analogy. He said, you know, when you go to people's house that they're not even doing it as good as you do, you can't even stay there anymore. Because they're still smoking crack and they're still cussing and still doing all stuff. Man, I broke down, boohoo and snorting and everything because I wanted more. And he told me if I need to receive what they have, I got to start changing my life. Allowing him to change my life. Because I was still divin' and down, and the Holy Spirit knew that. I was still going to the crack house on Friday night and Saturday night and coming to church on Sunday morning singing the praise team. Spraying all that stuff in my mouth to try to hide the smell. Putting all types of fancy colognes on my suit to try to drown the smell that was coming through my pores. You understand what I'm saying? So he couldn't really stay in my my temple. He visited, but he just couldn't stay. He told me that. That's why I couldn't experience the anointing. But after I started walking and started repenting and walking in according to the words and all in the commandments, I began to take the anointing that would come upon me, that I would vibrate like somebody was shocking me with two paddles to jumpstart my heart. I mean, I would just vibrate. I realized this was happening because I started to repent and walk according to the words. Jesus said, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither know him, but you know him. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Hallelujah. In years, thousands of years ago, this power would rest upon the prophets. But Jesus said he's not only going to rest upon us, he's going to be in us. Why? He said forever. Forever. The Holy Spirit comes to say forever. Forever is that until Jesus comes to receive us. He comes to stay with us forever to keep us out of that dark place. To convict us when we want to walk the wrong way. He said, no, son, no, daughter, you can't walk over there. No, it's time for you to pray, son. It's time for you to pray, daughter. He's come here to bring correction, to lead us, to guide us, to keep us on that path. Jesus says, he dwelleth with us and shall be in us. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, the world seeth me no more. Jesus, I got to go. But he's given us instructions to live this life, knowing that he is the only way. He's the only truth, and he is the life. Without him in us, we have no life. That's why we need the Holy Ghost. We need the Holy Ghost. I told you before, some couple years ago, I said some people got the Holy Ghost. That's why they act the way they act. They don't have the Holy Ghost. They claim they got the Holy Ghost. Any person that is truly filled with the Holy Ghost acts different. They live different. They treat people different. People say they're filled with the Holy Ghost and cutting their brother out, their sister out, cutting their husband out, cutting their wife out, cutting their children out. You ain't got no Holy Ghost. You got the Holy Ghost. Listen to what he says. Jesus is speaking. He said, yes, a little while, and the world seeth me no more. I'm going to the Father. But you seeth me because I live, you shall live also. See, the Spirit is in us. He's in us. He's going to the Father, but yet still he's in us in the Spirit. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. That's how we know. You have an understanding of the commandments, but you're not keeping them. Jesus says, if you keep them, you're showing the world. You're showing the angels, the heavenly hosts, that you truly love the Lord. Listen to what he says. He it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved by my Father, of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. See, you're going to understand. You're going, when we truly love God and we live according to the instructions, guess what happens? He manifests himself to us out because you can see the anointing working through us when we pray for people. when we are speaking to people. Hallelujah. We don't even have to lay hands on them and they can feel the anointing. It's not a make-believe nothing. It's not any light shining. It's not no smoke coming up through the altar. It's the word of God, the power that's on the God, on the word. He said, a letter killeth, but the spirit gives life. We are not speaking in the letter. We're speaking in the spirit. People can feel it. They know it's true. They know that you're not a counterfeit. You're the real deal. Because you're living and loving this word, the word of God. Bible says in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. So you're loving God, keeping his commandments. Now the third point here, remember I give you 3 points. The third point here is Judas. Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou will manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? And this is the answer. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him and will come unto him and make, and we will come unto him, excuse me, and make our abodes unto him. See? He's only coming to those that really love him. The Bible says he stands at the gate and knocketh. If anyone would open the door, he would come in and he would sup with them and them with him. See, you've got to hear the call that's calling to our hearts to repent, to commit and submit to him, like Bishop James says. And he would come. He will manifest himself to us. You wonder why so many people are just locking the doors of the church building and say, I don't want to be a preacher no more. I don't want to do this anymore. I'm tired. I'm burnt out. Well, if you really, truly love him and are filled with the Holy Ghost, you ain't going to get burnt out. The Holy Ghost is going to keep on energizing you. Sometimes I feel so tired. And all I got to is get up and start praying. And all of a sudden, it felt like I had no tiredness in my muscles. Hallelujah. Because I love him. We love him. Jesus says, he that loveth me, he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. These things I have spoken unto you, being yet present with you. Jesus is talking to his disciples. He's talking to us. We are receiving his word. Jesus got to leave, but he's coming back. He gave us the spirit to keep us together so that we can hear and remember what God has, he has said to the disciples. We are hearing the same word now through the spirit, by the spirit. And Jesus is expecting us to live like he asked the disciples to live. He has commanded them to live. That's why they could sell all that they had and give to whoever had need of, from the least to the greatest. Because they have gotten the commandment that these things in the world is not going to last. They're only for time and season. They're not going to last. But what he gives us is for eternity. Do you hear me today? I've got a lot of scriptures to give you, but I can't get to them. Listen to them. Yeah, listen, listen. He said, but the comforter which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. See, when we are out there walking, we're skipping through the tulips, we're going through the park, we're at the beach, we're at the mall, we don't have a Bible with us. But we've been studying so much, constantly studying his word, that the Holy Spirit now begins to regurgitate that like a cow chewing the cud from one of his stomachs. All this stuff starts to come up in our spirit, man. And we are in the mall walking. We are at the park. We are at the beach, wherever we are. And things, we are in the airplane. We are on a yacht somewhere. And these things are coming to us. Life is coming to us in our mind, in our spirit. Life. Because we have studied the word. God has penned down for us, have penned down for us by the men of old. And it's not coming to us. And we recognize that God is expecting us to live a certain way, to be a certain way. In spite of how our bodies feel, in spite of how our finances are, how our wife or husband or children are, he expects us to live a certain way. He expects us to represent him as the only one and true living God, the one who sits high and sees low. He expects us to tell the world that he is the beginning and the end, that he is the first and the last, that he is the Alpha and Omega. He expects us to tell the world that he is the only one that can heal. He's the only one that can truly deliver. Even if the preacher lays hands on you, the preacher is not the deliverer. Jesus is. If the preacher prayer for you, the preacher is not the healer. Jesus is. This is what he expects from us. Don't push our chest up because we got this nice fancy robe and we got the ring on our finger. We got the bishop ring on. We got the apostle ring on, you know, the prophet ring on. And we feel that we are doing something as us. That's why we lose our focus and we lose our blessing, like I preached on yesterday. We lose our focus and we lose our blessings because now we're trying to get the focus on us instead of having the focus on him. Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. Second time he's saying this. Neither let it be afraid. You have heard how I said unto you, I go away. And I come again unto you. If you love me, you will rejoice. Because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than that. See, we ought to rejoice. We ought to be praising because we know he's not only going there to sit around. He's making intercession for you and I. He's pleading our case even when we come up short. Jesus is the greatest intercessor. He's our advocate. He's pleading for us while the adversary is accusing us day and night before the Father. Jesus is pleading our case. Hallelujah, Jesus. I know I have told you before it comes to pass that when it comes to pass, you might believe. Hereafter, I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and have nothing in me. See, this is where the Bible says in Matthew chapter 4, excuse me, getting a little phlegm in my throat. But after the devil tempted Jesus, three times he tempted Jesus. And the Bible said that every time Jesus rejected him with the word, he rejected him with the word of God, putting the word right on his face. So Satan got tired because Jesus would not submit or commit to none of his foolishness. Everything belongs to God. Everything belongs to Jesus. And the Bible said that he departed from testing Jesus for a season. Well, the season was up here in this book right here. And the Bible says, he said, hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world, Satan, cometh and have nothing in me. See, wait. Another scripture there, I think it's in Luke. The Bible said, Matthew said, when the devil leaves, he goes looking for dry place. And if you don't find a dry place to rest, you come back to the same house that he left out of. But he come back with seven other demons, more wicked than him. So the Bible says here, Jesus said, he has nothing in him. He is pure. He is sanctified. He is, oh my God, he's holy. And this is what Jesus wants us to be. He wants us to become holy as he is holy. Why? Because when Satan come back to us after we got out the quiet house for 4 or 5 years, got out the whole house for 10 years or whatever, fornicating, and we walking with it. No, he said, you got to stay that way. You got to stay in the word. You got to constantly fast and pray to strengthen your spirit man. So when Satan come back, because he's coming back, he's going to test you with your family members. He's going to test you with your co-workers. He's going to test you with friends in the street. I'm telling you, he's coming back. He don't give up easily. Remember I tell you, he don't drink coffee. He don't stop for lunch. And he don't care what time dinner is.
So if we are not on our P's and Q's and got our stuff together, hallelujah. He's coming to put a monkey wrench in our game. He want to take us out. Hallelujah. But Satan is not going to kill you right away. He's not going to kill us right away. He wants to get us back on his payroll, working for him, doing the things that we used to do. So we can deceive some other brothers and sisters from going to heaven. You hear me today? He said he has nothing in him. But that the world may know that I love the Father, as the Father give me commandments, even so I do. Arise and let us go hence. Jesus speaks. He speaks. He's not afraid. He cares to do a work for the kingdom. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, Father, if it's possible, take this cup from me. And in the same breath, he said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. We got to understand that we got something that has to be done. The will of Christ has to be done through our ministry. Through our life. Our life is our ministry. You think it's the building. You're preaching hard. You're teaching hard. But how are you living? You can sing well. You can dance. You know how to play the conga drums. You know how to play the bongos. You know how to play the keyboard. You get the point. But how are you living? Are you sure that Jesus is the way and the truth and the life? Because if you're sure to this, your lifestyle will demonstrate that. Your lifestyle will demonstrate that. Let's go to another scripture. I had so much here in the Logos Bible that I want to give you, but he just let me come straight up to King James today. Let's go to John chapter 6 and verse 35. We're talking about there's only one way to the Father. And he gave me that last yesterday, he now laying on the bed, he dropped that thing in my spirit. I said, wow. All of these preachers, they got to start talking to me. He said, all the preachers now, these people that claim to be representing me. That's what he told me. He said, they claim to be representing me, but they're giving out the wrong information. He said, they're leading people astray. People are comfortable hearing them teach and preach. Because they're not preaching anything about repentance. They're not preaching against sin. And they're preaching the people happy. He said, but I'm the only way. I'm the only truth. And the life. And if they don't come through me, he said, they are thieves and robbers. They're liars. Listen what he says. And John chapter 6 and verse 35, he says, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Do you hear what Jesus says? He's the only one that can quench the things that you think you really need. He can quench that thirst. He can quench that hunger. He takes it away from us. Let's go a little further here. He said, but I said unto you that you also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. You see, we leave Christ, he don't leave us. He doesn't push us away. Matter of fact, he's trying to draw us closer to him. But we walk away. You know why we walk away? Because we are drawn away by our own lust and our enticed, according to the scriptures. We allow people to distract us, deceive us, and even draw us into a strong delusion of deception that is better on the other side. It looks good. It's better. He said, for I come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. It said Jesus is coming, and this is the part that we're looking for. We are living for this time here that Jesus is talking about. Nobody can draw us away from him. We got to go away on our own, the deception of the world. He said, and this is the will of him that sent me. And everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day. The people begin murmuring. Jesus is so heavy right here. Listen to me. He is so heavy here in this text here. Glory to God. These so-called preachers now, these priests and these rabbis in Jesus' time, they all begin to murmur. Jesus hit him again with that same thing from in John chapter 14. He says, the Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he said, I came down from heaven? You see, folk will look at you and I because they know the lifestyle we used to live. And they're going to begin to judge us on who we was or who we seem to be, like, not who we are. Jesus went in this book and began to really teach real heavy. But let's go to Isaiah. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 6. You can do that whole, do that John chapter 6 from verse 35 all the way down to verse 51. I thought it was so powerful. Just study it for yourself. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 6. I want to give you just a couple more scriptures here, and then we're going to pray. Isaiah chapter 6. And we're talking about there's only one way to the Father. Isaiah chapter 6, let's start at verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. They told him of Jesus. Above his stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. With train or two, he covered his feet, his face. And with train, he covered his feet. And with train, he did fly. And one cried unto another, saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. They're worshiping Jesus. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door move at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the serpents unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. You see, when you get to that place, that coals represent purification. When you admit that you're unclean, that you don't have it all together, the Lord will send you help. He'll send deliverance to you. Hallelujah. He'll put you in right standing for the Father. Glory to God. He'll remove that thing from you that's making you unclean. See what happened to Isaiah, the prophet. One of the serpents, the angels, brought the coal from the altar and put upon his tongue. Hallelujah. Because he realized, he said, I was a man of unclean lips, and I'm in the midst of people with unclean lips. We preach the gospel. We go here, we go there, we fly here, we fly there. And we profess like we all that in the bag of chips and patch of cola. In the book of John, chapter John, gospel of St. John, let's go there quick.
Let me give you two more scriptures here. Jesus, St. John. St. John, chapter 1. Jesus says, John 14. John, chapter 1, 14.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You hear that? Jesus, the only way. Hallelujah. He come among us, full of grace and truth. 17, verse 17. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Do you know you have that unmerited favor upon your life? Do you know the truth is in your mouth? Speak it. You have the grace to speak it. Go jump down to verse 43, I believe it is. The day following Jesus would go forth into Galilee and find Philip and say unto him, follow me. Who are you following today? Have you made up in your mind that you will follow the instruction of Jesus Christ? That you will honor his commandments? Because that's the way to go? Who are you following today? Ask yourself that. Go to John chapter 2. John chapter 2. The book got there before I got there. John there. John chapter 2. Okay. Verse 16. Jesus speaking. And he said unto them that Saul does, take these things hence. Make not my father's house a house of merchandise. Jesus bring correction to all these false teachers. They're all about making money. We see it going on today. People selling chicken, hamburgers, hot dogs, barbecue spare ribs. Say they got to raise money for the church. The Bible says he has supplied all our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. They're killing chicken and killing all type of stuff to make money. They don't trust God. They don't believe. I tell you the days that I'm so low. I'm so low financially. And I said, honey, don't worry about it because God said he's going to supply our needs. I got to trust him. Let's go to John chapter 12. I got to trust him. And then bang, the phone rings. And I tell her, I know she's Jewish. So I got to, God is doing all this stuff so she can see. He's a Jewish rabbi, but he is the rabbi that saved the world. Listen to what he says. John chapter 12, verse 27. Let's go there. We're going to jump through a couple of scriptures here quick. Because a lot of people don't respond anyway, so I'm going to give you scriptures. Jesus is speaking again. He said, now my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. He is sorrowful, heavy, with the sins of the world upon his shoulder. Isaiah tell you that. He got the sins of the world upon his shoulder. It's heavy. He's weighted down. He's God in the flesh. He can feel what you feel. Even though he's not doing what we have done, but he's feeling what we have done, the sin. But he says, my soul is troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. He said, but for this cause came I unto this hour. This hour of judgment for his soul, for the world. He got to give his life up so that you and I can have life. This hour. Just down to verse 34. Verse 34. Glory to God. The people answer him, we have heard out of the law that Christ abided forever. And how sayest thou the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? They didn't understand what he was talking about. They're talking with praise. Lift up the name of Jesus. But Jesus had to be lifted up on that cross. Hallelujah. Even as the serpent was lifted up in the desert, he had to be lifted up on that cross to pay for your sin and my sin, for the world's sin. And as he was lifted up on that cross and nailed and pierced and crowned, he drew men and women, boys and girls, to him. True salvation, the blood that was shed. Draw them. Be particular when I sing, I lift up Jesus' name. No, he was lifted up at the cross. But what draw as people to come to Christ is our lifestyle. When we live the life that he called us to live according to the commands, John chapter 13. We say, oh, I love the Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. And we sing that. We sing that with such eloquence. And then we go right out the house and cut somebody out. We fuss with people. We disrespect people. We're not honoring God. We gotta love. I tell them deacon the other night on the prayer line. Man, we gotta love people even if they don't love us. Politicians that don't care for us and abuse us and misuse us, we still gotta love them. We gotta love them. You don't have the we don't have the luxury of hating no one. I don't care what they've done to us. You might dislike their attitudes, but you can't hate them. You don't have that luxury. If you do hate them, you're gonna miss out on God. If you have that heart of hatred and hating people, you're gonna miss out on God. Hallelujah. In John chapter 13, verse 6. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, didst thou wash my feet? Jesus set an example for them after the supper. This is in time of Passover. And Jesus showed them how to love on each other and care for each other. Not only for the 12 or the 11, but he said, you got to show love. Be humble. You know, the feet of the dirtiest part of the body. And for you to humble yourself and they take off them stinking socks and stinking sneakers, and you can hold them feet in your hand and wash them down and anoint them, that is some humility. Humbleness. And Jesus took off the towel off around his waist and he wiped their feet, washed their feet, or dried their feet off and anointed their feet. Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part of me. Let me tell you something. Jesus is going to wash you. Jesus has to wash us, not only our feet. We have to be washed. We have to be cleansed from the crown of our head to the sole of our feet. All of this filthiness and bondage must go. You must allow Jesus to wash it off. Somebody's coming in with a block number. That's all right. Stay over there. If you don't want to show your number, just stay over there in the waiting room. Coming in with a block number. But this is what God says. If I don't wash your feet, you don't have no part with me. If you don't allow me to cleanse you, you don't have no part. Hallelujah. Even though some folk gonna get washed, but they're not clean. And he said that talking about Judas. Here, let's go to another scripture. Let's go to John chapter 11. Glory to God. Just take you through this book of John. God gave this stuff to me last night, yesterday evening. I tell you, it's so powerful. John chapter 11, verse 47. You know, talking about Lazarus' family. He says, then gather the chief priests and the Pharisees and council, and said, what do we? For this man doeth many miracles. See, Jesus performed all kinds of miracles. And yet still, the people who ought to believe him didn't believe him. But the priests and the Sadducees and the scribes, those folk that were devout people were paying attention. Let me tell you something. When you are teaching and preaching with some doctrine, those folk gonna watch you. They're paying attention. They may not give you any accolades. Not that you're looking for accolades, because we don't do what we do for accolades. But let me tell you something. They're watching you. You hear what I'm saying? John chapter 11, verse 21. Let's go up. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know, verse 22, that even now, whatever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again. She knew Lazarus was sold out to Christ. He was Christ, a friend of Christ. She knew that Lazarus was sold out. So Martha said, I know he will rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am. See, did you hear what he said? I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She said unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And then she said, and when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. And so as she heard that, she rose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. It says Jesus had so much authority, so much of power, that when he speaks, those that had ears to hear heard. The ones that didn't have special ears in him, what they had was just mental ears. They're just ready to judge, to critique him like they do with us. They don't hear what God is saying. I want to say, he too loud, he too long, he too this. I don't mind about that stuff. Let's go over. He told that he was the resurrection and the life. See, he is the beginning and the end. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. And then after that, one more scripture. Acts chapter 2. You need the word of God. We need, not you, we need the word of God. The word of God is what makes us different. The word is not like us. That's why they can't receive us. Because we have something that they don't have. We have something that they need. They don't have it. Acts chapter 2, verse 43. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. See, when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, I mean truly filled. You remember I said some people got the Holy Ghost, not the Holy Ghost? When you are truly filled with the Holy Ghost, signs and wonders will follow you. You don't have to go places, go to convocation and revivals and all this stuff looking for signs. Signs and wonders will follow you. The disciples didn't look for them. The apostles didn't look for them. They followed them. Why? Because they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Remember when they was in the upper room and they got filled? They started speaking in different towns, diverse towns. Many people heard them speaking in their own towns. Hallelujah. And they were wondering how many people could be speaking in their towns when they were Jewish. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, glory to God. But that's what the power of God will do when it infiltrates your heart, your soul. Folk want to get around and jump and walk around and crawl across the floor and acting like they're all that. They're all that in a bag of chips and a Pepsi-Cola, and they can't do nothing. Can't do nothing. Can't go to the hospital and pray for nobody, and they come up to the hospital. Can't do nothing. Because why? They're phony. They're fawning. They're looking for glory for themselves. They're not trying to glorify God. They're not trying to glorify God. They're looking for glory. Hallelujah. Remember going to the hospital with Evangelist Baxter. She was Baxter then. She's Irish brown. And we went to the hospital for her niece was there dying. 65 pounds soaking wet. Had wires, and I call them wires. They look like little tubes like you ever see Star Trek. All over her body. She has a tube to go to the bathroom. A tube to defecate. A tube to urinate. A tube to breathe. A tube to her heart. Tube to her lungs. All this kind of stuff she had on. And the nurse and the doctor, when I come in there with the Evangelist doctor, said, she's not going to be here too long. She's not going to make it. Can't breathe on her own. Can't go to the bathroom on her own. Nothing she can do on her own. And I looked at her, and I tell her, Evangelist, you anoint her a certain place, because I don't touch women in a certain place. You can get charged. You can get in trouble. And I says, I told her, I said, God going to heal this young lady. She was in a deep coma. When we got there, began to pray for her and anoint her. I anointed her foot and the head and hands and back to anoint her chest and stuff, you know, and her belly and stuff. And pray for her. And all of a sudden, a couple of her fingers moved. She wasn't doing nothing before. And all of a sudden, her fingers make a sudden jerk. And I said, Pastor, do you see that? I said, my God, her fingers just moved. He said, and while we pray, her fingers go again. Then her tongue moves. Then she opened her eyes. I said, she's coming out of here. I told her back, so I said, she's coming out of here. And I haven't seen her for about a week or so, 2 weeks. And we go back to the hospital looking for her. Back there, didn't know. And I said, she been gone. She said, the nurse said, she's not done. She's going to a rehab place. So we had to drive. I said, well, we're going to go see her. We got to go drive about 100 miles from Boston up to Springfield, Massachusetts. And we go to this rehab place. We saw her in a wheelchair, one of them wheelchairs you can drive around the wheelchair. But she rehabbed. She had to get back all her motor skills and all that stuff. And the girl was, her boyfriend got shot, and she went into this deep thing. I mean, just went into a coma. I mean, it just took her over. It wouldn't like she get shot or she got hit or anybody, you know. Once she heard it, she went into this thing. And everything stopped working. We go to that place, that rehab place, big fancy place. The government was paying for that. We taxpayers, we paying for all that. And she was right around to tell her she had visitors. She come out there. She couldn't talk too plain. No, she's getting back up motor skills of speech and everything, coming back. She was trying to take my iPad out of my hand. And I started praising God. I said, but I ain't going to let you break my computer, because this is where I got my scriptures and stuff on. We prayed for her, fellowship with her. Now she live in Georgia now. She's driving and doing all kinds of stuff, taking care of her child and all that stuff. She may have a new boyfriend or something. I don't know. I don't care, but I know Baxter told me, Brown, she told me that this young lady, her niece, she said she is driving and everything now. This is one that was... that they had counted out, given she was going to die. She wasn't going to make it, you know. And then you can go someplace else, and the Lord will tell you that somebody ain't going to make it. You want to see them come out, but God said they're not going to make it. You can pray. You know how you can say? You can. And God said no, like when my daughter was sick. God told me no, she wasn't going to come out. She said she wasn't happy here. And God took her home. And I couldn't tell my wife, but because I already heard what God said. And then when they called us back to the hospital, I said, Amy not going to make it, honey. I said, remember when I told you that the Lord spoke something to me and I couldn't tell you because you wouldn't be able to bear? I said, this is it. And we went there, prayed with her and released her, and she make a deep breath. And that was it. Exhale, that was it. Jesus said here in John chapter, Luke chapter 9, this is the last scripture I'm giving you, and then I'm going home. He says, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said unto them, take nothing for your journey, neither staffs, nor scrip, nor bread, nor money, neither have two coats apiece. And whatsoever house you enter into their abode and then depart. And whoever will not receive you when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. And they departed and went through the towns preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Listen to me. When you are obedient to God, because this is the key. When you're obedient to God, you love him, you keep his commandments, God manifests himself to you through signs and wonders. Because he must get the glory from what you say and what you do. This is what God is calling for today and every day from us as his children. We got to love him enough to obey him. Love him enough to love the saints. Love those that don't know him. Those that are living a contrary life, that living life like we used to live when we were in the world. Cussing, having all type of stuff, getting drunk, living a promiscuous lifestyle. We got to love them anyway. You think you're too good to love them. You can't love them. You can't say something good about Jesus to them. And you expect you're going to win them for the kingdom. No, you're not going to win them. You're driving them away from the Lord. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this word that you have given us today. And we pray, O God, that we have said something, O God, it touched somebody's heart like you touched mine on yesterday and this morning. And allow them to hear the truth of your word, because it's your word that makes the difference in our lives, Lord. Father, we don't proclaim to be arrived. But one thing we know for sure, that we are forgetting those things that are behind us, and we are pressing towards the mark of the prize of the call in Christ Jesus. We ask, Father God, that you continue to heal our bodies, heal our minds, heal our spirit, heal our soul. We thank you for touching Bishop James and touching Apostle Washington, Lord. We thank you for touching Apostle Millie and her sister and her brother-in-law, son-in-law, oh God, and her daughter. We thank you, Father God, because only you can heal the sick and raise the dead, Lord. We believe, God, that you have filled us with that authority, oh God, to speak to dead things and they'll come alive. We ask, Father God, that you have mercy today on our nation. God, have mercy on Africa, on India, Japan, on China, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Syria, Egypt, Jerusalem, Israel, Lord, Brazil, Denmark, Holland, Italy, France, Germany, the Caribbean, God, Australia, Lord, there's so much problems, oh God. We pray today, God, that you stretch your hands over the world, oh God, because the world is not big enough that your hand cannot reach, oh God. We ask you to touch, Lord, touch the presidents and the vice presidents, the prime ministers, oh God. Oh God, the Supreme Court Justice Department. Lord, touch, oh God, touch today, Lord God. Touch, oh God, the Democrats, the Republicans. Touch every, oh God, the British Prime Minister, Lord. We pray, Father God, they're going through so much stuff over there now. Lord, there's hell here on earth for the people that are leading these nations, oh God, that they cannot even become one. Lord, we ask, Father God, that you show up in the midst of all the trials that are taking place in this earth realm right now, Father God. Make a difference, Lord. Bring change in this earth realm, oh God. If you don't move, God, we don't know what would happen. The enemy is going to be laughing. He's going to be mocking and saying, let them depend on their God. Oh, Father, we trust in you. We depending on you. We relying on you, oh God, to bring healing, God. Test Apostle Stewart, God. Pastor George Stewart. Lord, we ask you, Father God, today, test Pastor Brown, Evangelist Brown, test Evangelist Tina, Evangelist Campbell, Evangelist, oh God, Evangelist, Sheila, Lord God, we ask you to touch Minister Andira. Lord God, move by your Spirit, God. Oh, Holy Spirit, you are so worthy. You are so worthy, God. We thank you for coming and aborting with us, oh God. spending the time that you spend with us daily, oh God. Lord, we don't take it lightly, Lord, but we cherish every moment that you spend with us, every moment that you allow us to experience, oh God. We pray today, Lord God, for Deacon Fraser's father and his uncle and all his family members, the members that he called up before that are suffering from cancer, suffering from the coronavirus. Lord, we pray, oh God, for strength. We pray for healing. Deliverance, restoration, Lord. We just don't want just a touch of the healing, but we want the whole healing balm of Gilead. Lord, we pray today, Lord God, that you saturate this atmosphere right now. God, touch the prophetess, Kershi, Lord, what a powerful word she preached on Friday. Lord, touch the minister Jones. Lord, we ask you, Father God, keep him safe on the highway. And Father, we ask, oh God, touch oh minister Sian, oh God, Lord, her husband, her son, oh God, touch the pastor's sons and the granddaughters and all the grandchildren. Lord, we pray today, oh God, for a stirring in the spirit right now, God, that you begin to stir, oh God. Lord, let the healing, oh God, begin to resonate in us and through us, oh God. Father, we ask you to move, God, by your spirit, God. Touch Apostle Millie and her sister. Touch her daughter, oh God, her grandson, her son-in-law, her brother-in-law, oh God. All the family members, Lord, we pray, God, that you begin to move, God. Let it begin to get hot in their neighborhood, hot in their spirit, oh God. Let them feel that fire burn on the inside that Jeremiah talk about, Lord. Oh, Father, we pray today in the name of Jesus, oh God. We pray for you to touch, oh God. Go through the corridors of our nation, oh God. Go down into the slums, oh God. Oh God, go down on Skid Row, God, and begin to touch those drug addicts, those homosexuals, those lesbians, those, oh God, those fornicators, those adulterers, oh God, those prostitutes, oh God, those drug dealers, Lord God. God, begin to move, God. Move, God. You said all souls are yours, God. So we are trusting you, depending on you, Lord God, because we know only you can bring them out of darkness into your marvelous light. Father, we thank you, and we praise you this day. In Jesus' holy name, we pray. We pray. Well, I guess I'll do a prayer of salvation, because I don't know if Bishop is there, but I see the line on there. That may be Apostle. So if you don't know Jesus today as your Lord and Savior, we want to give you an opportunity to receive him. I already got some stuff written out here that we're going to... Because today, tomorrow is not promised to anyone. I want you to know that. People say, well, I'm going to see you tomorrow. I always say, I'll see you tomorrow if it's the Lord's will. Because I'm not sure. I can't tell you that I'm going to see you this afternoon. I'm not sure if I'm going to make it this afternoon. But I got to tell you, if it's his will, I might see you. I might see you because it may be his will, and then he leads me to do something else, and then I miss. I can't be with you. So, but tomorrow, he's not promised. I had a young man that I ordained in Houston, Texas. He always used to say that. He said, tomorrow is not promised to anybody. And he said, today is a good day to receive the gift of salvation. Today is a good day. Tomorrow is not promised. You know, your soul is immortal. It will never die. But as it separates from your body, there are two options for it: heaven, eternity with God, everlasting happiness, or eternity without God, everlasting suffering. There is only one person in this world with the ability to choose where you are going to live eternally. You may say that person is God, but God's word says in his word, the Bible, that person is you. Only you can choose or determine the eternal destination of your soul. You may, if you wish, choose heaven now. But if you think you can leave this matter for another time, the choice of eternity without God will have been chosen for you if you die right now. This is where you will go forevermore. If you do not die now, you will be still walking towards eternity without God. Certainly you would prefer to go to heaven, and to be sure that you will enjoy heaven, this is what you must do. Number one, you must recognize that you are a sinner. God says in his word, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. Number two, you must recognize that you cannot go to heaven by your own efforts. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Number three, you must believe that only Jesus Christ can take you to heaven. True, Jesus says in John 14 and 6 that we ministered this morning, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. Jesus did not say he was one of the ways, like the preachers are saying, that there's so many different ways to the Father. He said he is the way and the truth, the only way. Number four, you must accept Jesus as your only Savior. The book of Acts chapter 16, verse 31 says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Some may say, I am still young and I can leave this matter for later. I would like to say two things. Number one, you do not need to be old to be near eternity. Number two, the prophecies of the Bible says that Jesus will return again, and these prophecies are being fulfilled in our days. How will your life be on that day, the day that Jesus returns? Think about it, because the only way to reach this blessing is through Jesus. Jesus says in Revelation chapter 22 and 7, behold, I am coming quickly. He didn't say I was coming quick. He said, behold, I am coming quickly. That means quicker than quick. Before you snap your finger, before you wink your eye, he's going to be here. Nobody knows the day or the hour. If you decide not to choose heaven, know that you are walking towards eternity without God, under God's wrath. He who does not believe the Son, Jesus, the wrath of God abides on him. John chapter 3, verse 36b. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. John 3 and 16. The Bible says in John 3 and 17, God sent not his Son into this world to condemn this world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's John 3 and 17. And John 3 and 19 said that men love darkness rather than light, that's the B section, because their deeds were evil. John 3 and 19. Light came into the world, but men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Peter says in Acts 2 and 38, he said to them, repent and be baptized, everyone, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promises unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation or crooked generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. In Acts 4 and 12, let's go to Acts 4 and 10. He says, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. And this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Hallelujah. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we may be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. They marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Father God, we thank you and praise you for this word of pertaining to salvation. And we pray today that someone somewhere might give their life, might submit and commit to you today. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, this is a good time to really repent.
wherever you are. Tell the Lord Jesus that you're sorry, that you've been living your life as you choose, how you feel, and whenever you feel. But today, tell the Lord Jesus, the Lord Jesus, I recognize that I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. And today I'm coming just as I am. I don't want to die and go to hell. And after hearing the word today, I believe in my heart that you're the only one, Jesus, that can save me. So today, right now, I am denouncing Satan and all of his agents and this world system. And I come to you just as I am, with great expectation, knowing that you're the only one that can save me, that can cleanse me from my sin, according to 1 John 1:9, and make me whole again. Jesus, I open the door to my heart, and I invite you to come in. Sit on the throne of my heart. Be my Lord, my Savior, and my soon coming King. If you have just said that from your heart, believe in your heart what you have said. According to Romans chapter 10, verse 9, 10, and 11, that says that if you confess with your mouth that which you believe in your heart, that God raised Jesus from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed. And if you say that out of your mouth because you truly believe that Jesus is the one that died on Calvary, a hill called Golgotha, or the skull, you believe that he's the one that shed his blood for you. He's the one that was nailed and pierced and crowned with thorns for your sins. And you accept all that he has done on Calvary. You believe that he was buried and that he rose again on the third day. You have just received the gift of salvation. And even as Peter said in the book of Acts, you have to get baptized. When you get baptized, the Holy Ghost will come. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He will fill your heart. In the book of Mark chapter 16, let's read that. The word of God is what makes a difference, not what I say. The word of God, he says, Jesus is speaking to his disciples. He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it should not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So you see, you have to be baptized. And baptism just means that you're making an open declaration, a proclamation, however you want to say it, that you're declaring before your guests, the people that are witnessing, this is the greatest day of your life. You are receiving new life for your soul. Hallelujah. Remember we read earlier that your soul will never die? Well, you're receiving new life. Your soul can either, if you die without receiving Christ, your soul can either live in hell, in torment. If you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, it will live in eternity, which the joy of the Lord will be your strength. It will take over you. You will have the peace of God. So now you want to find a pastor, preacher, teacher for study, reading, study the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the book of Acts, and then call up a pastor, preacher, teacher. Go over the word over and over. That's what studying means. Study the word of God till the word take root in your heart. And then call up a pastor, preacher, say, look, I've been studying my word. I've been studying the word. I received the gift of salvation, and I want to be baptized. But before you get baptized, you want to invite your friends, your family, your co-workers, even your neighbors, and your enemies. You want them. You say, but why the enemy? Because you want your enemy to know, because your enemy is going to keep calling on you. When I got baptized years ago, many, many, many years ago, I was hanging out with these people and doing a lot of drugs. And one of the guys got about 13 years, and one got 23. But the one that got 13, he got out, and the first thing he did was call me. And I told him straight up that I didn't run the streets anymore. I wouldn't get high anymore. I wouldn't get drunk. I wouldn't get smoking up anymore. And he couldn't believe. He said, what? You said that? I said, man, I don't get high. I don't smoke no cocaine anymore. I said, my life has changed. I'm a minister. He said, what? And he hadn't called me since then. But if you're going down in that water, you tell that preacher you want to be baptized in Jesus' name. They might tell you, well, we don't baptize in Jesus' name. Please don't get mad and get adamant with the preacher and start want to act foolish, act unseemly. You say, well, okay, I'll get back in touch with you. Just be good. Just, I'll get back in touch with you. I'll get back in touch with you when I get my guests together. Leave on good terms, because the very church that you leave bad, maybe the church that God wanted to bring you back, the body believes that God wanted to bring you back and make you a minister in that body. So leave on good terms and find a preacher that will baptize you according to Acts 2 and 38. And then once you get baptized, my friend, find a church that's preaching and teaching the gospel and get yourself involved in ministry, okay? Get yourself involved. God bless you, and thank you for getting saved. And I pray that many more people get saved today and days to come. The line is now open for anyone that want to respond to what you heard today. Put in your two pennies like I put my dollar and a half in today. You can come on in. The line is open. Well, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. We have people on the line. Nobody saying anything. So we just go ahead and pray and close up. Father, we thank you. We praise you, O God, for this day. We thank you for the word that you have given us. And we thank you for those that came on and heard the word today. Glory to God. We pray that you bless the ears that hear and bless the ears that would hear. And Lord, we ask you to heal those and all those that we have called out the name, and even those that we haven't called the name. And we didn't remember, Lord, you know our hearts. Lord, we are not picking and choosing, but Lord, we call as you give us utterance. We ask you to heal today, deliver, restore. And Father, as we leave this line, but never your presence, we ask you to bless us in the city, bless us in the field. Bless us when we come and bless us when we go. We pray today that you'll continue to make us the head and not the tail, that you will set us above and not beneath, make us the lenders and not the borrowers, oh God. We pray today, with everything that's within us, O God, that Father God, that you would move in our midst always, O God, that you would have your way for your glory, for our good, and O God, to shame the devil. Now, Father, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, continue to rest and abide upon us, and surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, as we dwell here in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Remember to tell somebody that God loved them, you love them, and Jesus is the only way. And maybe the word that you're speaking to somebody's ear gate today that will make all the difference in their lives. It might stop someone from committing suicide, stop someone from committing murder, from kidnapping a child, sodomizing a child, or even breaking into someone's home and committing some heinous crime. Now, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, he said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. Glory to God. So just speak that word out of your mouth. It's what's going to make the difference. The word has power. It has authority. When you speak it in love and by the Spirit, it will do what only the word can do. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Now, you all have a good, blessed day, safe day. If you got to go, remember, if you're going between a lot of people, wear your mask, because this thing is, the virus is still out there, and there's other things that happen in the atmosphere. Let's protect yourself. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The life you save may be your life. God bless you all, and God keep you safe. Bye-bye.